your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. This show is a pre-record, so you won't be able to call in, but you'll be able to listen to the archives on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the compassionatefriends.org website. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and some of the transcripts are available through the griefblog.com. Well, good morning, Heidi, and
morning,
Merry Christmas.
Mom. Merry Christmas to you, too.
We're doing a pre-record on this, so you won't be able to call in, but we've got a really special Christmas show for you, don't we, Heidi?
We do, and I'm so excited because the two guests that we have on today, Alan and Mitch, are two of my favorite guys. They have such a message of hope. They are wonderful people. And if anybody that's listening has any chance at all to see these guys together, I would highly recommend it because it's a very healing when you hear them.
And you're also going to be able to see them at Bereaved Parents USA program this summer, as well as with Heidi and I. And I think it's July, isn't it?
In July, yes. And oftentimes they're at Compassionate Friends. And we'll talk to them more about other places they might be. Because I was just talking to Mitch before the show, and he said they already have like about 10 or 12 places that they're going to perform this year.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about what they're doing. Well, we know that this can be a really difficult day for you all, and we want you to know our hearts go out to you, and we hope that you will think of some ways that you can celebrate your child's life or your sibling's life or your spouse's life today, maybe just lighting a candle before you go out or whatever. Heidi, do you have any special rituals that you like? Remember the wreath?
Yeah. What was that? Refresh my memory.
Yeah, about putting candles around in a wreath. One of our guests told us that they did that, had a special wreath for their child that died.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the main thing I want to say about Christmas is it was definitely the hardest day of the year for me initially because Scott was such a part of our Christmas rituals and our Christmas day. And my brother was the only boy, and there was three girls. So we always had him put up the tree. And he would put up the tree, and we'd laugh because it would keep falling on him, and he would put up the lights. And, you know, he had such a big part of a lot of things that went on at Christmas, and to not have him there was such a huge void. So I would say try to balance not only celebrating and remembering, but also taking care of yourself. And I needed to also take a break sometimes away from some of the memories because I felt overwhelmed at times.
Yeah.
By not having him there.
I was talking to a family yesterday who are spending their Christmas Eve, which would have been last night, at home doing their traditional thing like they did, even though it's difficult, and then they were going somewhere on Christmas Day. But they said their Christmas Eve was the most important time, and they were going to have a little special ritual and do something special for their son that had been killed.
That's nice. That's wonderful.
So take care of yourself on this day, and as Heidi said, take a little break. Well, Heidi, we're going to talk today about the holidays, helpful or hurtful, and you want to introduce our guests?
Sure. As I said before, I'd be honored to introduce our guests, Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody, and our topic today is the holidays, helpful or hurtful. Alan Peterson is an award-winning singer-songwriter, having spent several years writing music in Nashville, Tennessee. In August of 2001, Alan's 18-year-old and only daughter, Ashley, was killed in an automobile accident. This painful event would change his life completely. Alan plays music and speaks about surviving parental grief. Mitch Carmody is an author, artist, and photographer. His book, Letters to My Son, is about the loss of his 9-year-old son, Kelly, who died of cancer in 1987. Mitch conducts workshops for the bereaved all over the country and is a keynote speaker and workshop presenter on grief and the process of recovery. Welcome to the show, Mitch and Alan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show. You know, I always think, you know, I want to say Merry Christmas, but for some people it's sure not merry this year, is it?
No, that is a hard one to say. I always kind of catch myself too.
And this is Mitch, right?
This is Mitch, I'm sorry.
Yeah, kind of say that for us until people get used to our voices.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's difficult to say Merry Christmas when you're, mm-hmm. it's the worst day of your life. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, when you remember, depending on when the death occurred, too, but Christmas is always bad. For me, Christmas, my son died December 1st, so it was the, you know, that first Christmas was just horrible. There mm-hmm. was nothing prepared, you know. We actually used a... My mother-in-law's neighbors were out of town, and they had all set up for Christmas and said they were down, out of town for the Christmas week, and we just stayed overnight in their house because they had the tree all set up, and we just had kind of a very weird, lonely Christmas at someone else's house.
Mm-hmm. So, I hardly even remember that first Christmas. How about you, Alan?
Well, you know, I think I was very fortunate. Ashley died in August, and that first Christmas I was... had been around people that understood grief, and we just kind of set a whole new holiday ritual. We changed what we did. We didn't do it anything the same as we'd done it before. Christmas was so special to Ashley, and we kind of continued that through the years. And the boys and I and everybody, we just set a whole new set of rituals that we carried through, and so Christmas is different for us. We don't try to pretend that we can go back and ever make it be the same, and we all accept that, and that's kind of been how we've gotten through the holidays, by managing them. And but it is a difficult time for so many people, and my advice is always to kind of take control of the holidays yourself. And for some people, doing it the way they always did it brings them comfort, and for others, just setting new things and new ways that you do it works. And so you kind of got to go with the kind of person that you are and whatever works for you.
Kind of a challenge, though, because, you know, if you've got kids involved, Heidi, you always remind me. Tell them what you remind me of about the kids.
Well, where it becomes a problem is if the parents and the kids don't agree. If everyone's on board, it's actually great. But sometimes I've heard, and Mitch and Alan, you can speak to this, that the parents are in a really bad place, understandably, and the kids want to have kind of a happy day because they're so excited to have Christmas.
Yep.
And the parents are grieving, and the kids, it's hard for the kids when they see that.
Yeah, we, you know, in my case, I was very fortunate because we all worked it out together.
Mm-hmm.
And because I'm divorced and the boys have, you know, two families to go to, and we worked it out in a way, and that's exactly the case. The boys wanted to make it as happy, and we did everything that we could, and we just really sat down at the table and said,
mm-hmm.
okay, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what works for us, but... You definitely have to have the kids involved, and I've gotten to a place now where I really can celebrate Christmas, and because I know that's what Ashley would want me to do.
Yeah,
so
how many years has it been for you, Alan?
Well, 7 years now.
Uh-huh. And how about you, Mitch?
21.
Yeah. What have you seen differently on the holidays, Mitch?
I see. Well, it was just, you know, 2 years before my son died, my twin sister and her two boys were killed. And so that was the beginning of just trying to get through the holidays with two chairs empty, you know. Then after 2 years, it was three chairs empty, or four chairs empty,
wow.
You know. And so for us, it was just about, we talked about it as a family. It's not about giving presents, it's about being present.
Oh, I like that.
I love
that. And just being together and sharing and talking. And the hub of Christmas is secondary, and we learned that early on. But when we had a six-year-old daughter who had just lost her brother, we had to put on a face, and we had to gear up and make Christmas. I mean, that's the most important years for a child for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
is that age.
Right.
And so instead of burying it like with Kelly, like we wanted to do, and say, forget this whole Christmas fiasco, because we all talk about it, you know, that way anyway, because of all the hubbub and the glitter. But, yeah, we do it, and it's fun. But we just, well, for Megan... Every December 1st, the anniversary of his death, we will go out and cut down our Christmas tree. So that's what we did every year. That was our early Kelly day when Megan was small. We'd go out and cut the Christmas tree.
And you did it as kind of a Kelly day?
As Kelly Memorial, yes.
Oh, okay.
We put
that's
it up
nice.
On December 1st, and took it down the day after Christmas because it was a fire hazard that long. But, you know, we wanted to get it up and do that for Kelly that day, and we pick it out and always have a fresh tree. And then years later, when she went to school, we take her, you know, out of school sometimes and get the tree. And then we went to an artificial tree when she got into high school just because it was easier and she didn't care and we didn't go out anymore. And then when she went to college, no more tree. Mm. We just don't do trees anymore until we have a granddaughter now. So we've had, this is the first year we've had a tree in 3 years because our granddaughter's here and she's 3 years old.
Now, did you cut it down on Kelly Day?
No, we just bought an artificial one too, and just put it up now just for her. You know, our whole house is converted to being a grandfather grandma house now.
Well, Mitch, I like how you're showing how rituals change over time. We don't have to be, you know, stuck wed to one ritual. They can change over time as our grief changes and as we're in a different place.
You're right. As the scene changes, it was so important for Megan at that age. But we were dying inside. Our heart wasn't it. We didn't want to do it. We were just doing it for her because that's what a child needs. And then when we get older, we said, why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense for us. We were just doing it for her. So we just don't do it. You know, it does change. Everything changes.
And as Alan pointed out, I mean, open communication with the kids is so important. I love the idea of sitting around with the kids and say, okay, what does everybody want? What is the consensus this year? I mean, our second year after my brother died, we all decided as a family, the three girls, my sisters and me and my parents, that we wanted to go to Hawaii and do something 100% different. And it was so great because I needed a break from the Christmas that we once knew. Now we were going to have new rituals, like Alan talked about, and new things because we were creating a new normal. Things weren't going to be like they used to be because Scott was no longer with us.
Yeah, no matter what diehard Christmas person, a trip to Hawaii doesn't sound too bad.
Well, you know, I also recommend to people to also keep your heart and your mind open to the fact that Christmas can be good again. And I'll give you an example of that.
I love that.
If we go into the season and we say, you know, it's just going to be terrible, I know what happened to me is 2 years ago, doggone it, I was out grocery shopping and I caught myself singing along to the Christmas carol music that was playing in the grocery store, and I went, now, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to be doing this. But I began to realize that if I would leave myself open, that there can be a joy in the holidays again. And, you know, so many times I'll sit around when I'm working with bereaved parents, and, boy, the mood will just be that, you know, the holidays can never be good again. But, you know, they can be good again. You've got to be open to that. And so
I love the fact that you spontaneously were singing a Christmas carol because what happens when we're open to things, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, really neat. And we're going to get to your music, Alan. And tell us about the song we're going to play in our next segment.
Well, I've got a new CD that I came out with this year, and it's kind of a look at where I am in grief now. It's called More Songs from the Journey. But I also wrote several songs on this. My brother lost his son, 31-year-old son, just 2 years ago, and I kind of walked through that first year with him. So there's some songs on there that are kind of a look at the process of grief, and that's what this song is about, the early look at grief, I guess, called Something You Go Through.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's called Something You Go Through. Great. And when we come back from break in a few minutes, we'll play that. Alan, how, you know, your brother now has lost his son 2 years ago, and I know, Mitch, you have had multiple losses in your life. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's different? Do you respond differently? How has it changed you? Why don't you start with that, Alan?
Well, I'll tell you something. When my brother lost his son the day before Thanksgiving 2 years ago, I was a little surprised because I thought, you know, I'm going to handle this so easily because, good grief, I've gone through, survived the loss of a child, and I was more than 5 years down the road. I think what I found was walking through that, especially that first year with him, it took me back to a place and gave me a new appreciation of just how difficult that first year of grief, and to watch his hopelessness and his helplessness and to be there for him and really intimately be involved once again, really was eye-opening. I tell you what it did. It helped the work that I do, the ministry that I do with parents. It helped just remind me again that just how fragile and how vulnerable we are in that first year. And I think it really added to what I do, and it also took me to a place that made me realize that, boy, that grieving process for myself, it doesn't matter what I'd gone through on my own. It was fresh and new grief for me, and I had to go through the grieving process myself again, and no matter how, we're never immune to that.
Well, of course, it was your nephew, so you go through that from that point of view, right?
And he was so close to Ashley. Him and Ashley were so very close, and Ashley's death was so hard and difficult for Shane. And I learned a lot about this process again, going through it, that I wasn't immune, and then also being.
And did you also learn, Alan, that you were in a different place? It must have shown you too. Hey, wait a minute. I'm in a really different place than my, is it your brother?
Yes. Absolutely. And I think that, it made me grateful.
There is healing. It makes you realize that.
Oh, I felt so grateful that I had moved through there. And even watching my brother now over this past Thanksgiving, and we took time to remember Shane and Ashley at our dinner, and just to watch where he is at 2 years and his growth, and... It just the understanding of the grief process, not only from the thousands of bereaved parents I meet doing concerts all over the country, but then to intimately walk through those first 2 years with him gives me a whole appreciation and a gratefulness, especially in this time of the year with the holidays.
Well, we're coming up on break, and I'm sure Mitch has been listening to this. I'm sure he's got some login when we come back from break to talk about that. But I think the first thing we'll do when we come back from break is to hear Celebrate the Children from Alan's new album. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're talking about the holidays, helpful or hurtful, with Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. They're archived on our website as well as the Compassionate Friends website, and you can also download them on iTunes. Please stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Loss, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com. and click on the category Write for Us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and for those of you just joining us today, we're talking with Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody about the holidays, helpful or hurtful. Welcome back to the show, Alan, Mitch, and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Thanks. Well, we wanted to go from break to hearing Alan's songs. Could we hear that now?
Mm-hmm. I heard a friend say the other day, she just can't get on with her life. She said, I feel stuck and I feel guilty. And I know my husband needs his wife. And I told her, grief isn't something you get over. It's something you go through. It pays no mind to the hands of time. It becomes a part of you. It's living proof that love never dies. It leaves these teardrops in our eyes. You don't get over. It's something you go through. I said, friend, you know, it wasn't that long ago I lost the love of my life. That little girl of mine, oh, she was something. I still miss her every day and night. And that's how I learned. Grief isn't something you get over. It's something you go through. It pays no mind to the hands of time. It becomes a part of you. It's living proof that love never dies. It leaves these teardrops in our eyes. You don't get over. It's something you go through. It's finding a gentle place, moving at your own pace, trusting the love you feel, knowing your heart will heal. Grief isn't something you get over. It's something you go through. It pays no mind to the hands of time. It becomes a part of you. It's living proof that love never dies. It leaves these teardrops in our eyes. You don't get over. You don't get over. We wouldn't want to get over. Something you go through.
Wonderful song. Mitch, I wondered, you have probably had some things to log on with about in our last segment where we were talking a little bit about with Alan about his brother, and I was wondering what kinds of things that the losses in your life and the people that you work, what have you come to see about loss?
Yeah, I think that if experiences do make a difference, and the timing and your age and you know, when my father died at 15, you know, and then my sister and her boys died 2 years before Kelly died, and mm-hmm. and so each one of those I tried to grieve like I did the time before, which is like my mother, which was very Nordic. You put it away and you don't talk about it, you know. So, but I couldn't live like that anymore. I was just going crazy. I had to actually go back and grieve for my father, so I could grieve for my sister, you know, so I could adequately grieve for my son now. So that first 5 years was really hard for me, and I didn't celebrate at all. I didn't have any inclination. I just was in a shell, you know, for a long, long time. It took me a long time to peck out of that shell. But once I was out of that shell, then I could really, the light start coming in, and, I mean, I stretched my wings. I could feel, I mean, a whole new birth, and went back and grieved all over again, and really saw how I was in the gray zone for so long. And there's no way to celebrate your child's life. Two lives are wasted. Two deaths occur, you know, if you allow that in your life. And So I said, no, I've got to relive my life, re-examine my new normal and make it a better normal and not a worse normal.
You know what I love about that mission is that you're saying to our audience out there, hey, there's always hope.
Oh, it's
open those wings
late.
And spread
you
out.
You've got the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
To change, yeah. To do with you know, you can grieve as long as you want to, any way which you want to. And there's always, and now with the internet and with what Alan and I are providing and what you guys provide, it's enlightening and showing so many people there are better ways to grieve. There are proactive ways to grieve. There are, and that can cut the journey down. Where my first 5 years and 20 years ago was horrible. That doesn't have to be anymore. It's not.
Well, it's kind of like the message that you and Alan are also giving us is. It's okay to allow yourself, like Alan said, to be open to the possibility of joy again.
Yes.
Well, you know, and another thing that, this is Alan piping in here, but another thing that Mitch and I found to be so prevalent out there is, you know, we do this work and we work with so many bereaved families and bereaved parents, and they get to the point of survival where they say, you know, okay, I survived this. Now what? And, you know, just surviving this is a monumental challenge. But once you reach that point where you say, okay, I have survived the loss of my child or my grandchild or my brother or sister, and then you say, but then now what? And what Mitch and I have found is that finding that quality of life again is so important. And how do you do it? How do these people that we meet, how did they do it? We began to ask questions and look into their lives and look into our own lives and say, you know, you can find a quality of life again. You can find, you can have passion in your life again. You can truly celebrate your child or your loved one. And that's what the work Mitch and I are now doing is all about. How do we get from just simply surviving to finding passion and quality in our life again?
And you're going around and speaking together, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Mitch, first of all, Mitch is such a dear friend, and he is such a wealth of information and positive thinking about grief. Him and I met each other, Mitch, about a year and a half ago and at a conference in Chicago.
Chicago.
Never met each other. We didn't really know about each other. We sat down and had about a 10-minute conversation before I had to go play at this conference. And we formed a friendship, and a couple months later, I kidnapped him up there in Minneapolis.
Literally kidnapped me.
I did. I took him on the road for 3 events, and he'd learned my songs, and these were just events I had planned, and his wife, has she forgiven me yet, Mitch?
But oh, yeah. After the next couple visits, she would say, oh, here comes Alan. She, you know,
well, I tried to hold him for ransom, but nobody would pay me.
Are you guys going to do a book, too, about all this?
Well, I think we're too busy right now.
How are people going to see you guys together? What are you calling your things? A father's grief or
two
something,
dads?
Was it? Two dads?
Two dads.
Okay.
Just two dads. You know, we're called kind of on a proactive grieving platform. That's what we're kind of going for and talking about. That we can do that. There are ways you can go out and jump into your grief, immerse yourself into it, not hide from it or accept what was in the past. I mean, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is all we had for years, but there's much more than that.
Right. You know, I was saying to someone yesterday, I was seeing a couple, and they said, I'm seeing a grief expert, you know, and I'm like, I kind of laughed because I thought, you are the grief expert right now. I mean, you're going to have this experience. It's a very difficult experience, but you're going to have an experience no matter what.
Oh, and I'm so looking forward to going to different cities where people know Alan, too, and they know me from different ways, and they see, mm-hmm. We're coming together, and they go, oh, my God, you guys are coming together. They get very excited that we're coming because we're just very natural grievers, too. We're not, you know, we're just trying to share bread with another beggar, you know. We're just trying to show our experience and say that.
Now, what are you going to tell them that is going to lift them?
Yeah,
Alan, give us a lifting.
How can you be proactive in your grief?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you how this came to be. First of all, we started hatching this plan over a steak dinner in Fargo, North Dakota, and we started talking about what we both believe about grief, what we had both learned. Mitch was much farther down the road than I was, and as we began to continue to have conversation, we began to say, wow, you know, between us, using Mitch is a fantastic artist. A lot of people don't realize this. And I was so touched. Mitch did a portrait of my Ashley for me that is unbelievable. He's done it for many other parents. But we began to talk about, Mitch coined the phrase for us, proactive grieving.
I like that. We're going to have to talk about proactive grieving when we come back from break. Because it's time for us to go to break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more about the holidays, Helpful or Hurtful, with Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody. This is a pre-recorded show, so you won't be able to call in today, but you can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, and we're brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, and we have many articles on the Open to Hope Foundation site right now.
And Mitch is an author, I have to say. Mitch is a contributing author, and Alan is going to be a contributing author.
So go there and find Mitch, and you'll soon find Alan, and you'll be able to read some inspiring things. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the Foundation blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Naomi Edelson. Has someone close to you died? If so, I invite you to participate in an important new research study. I am a doctoral student at the Wright Institute conducting research on social relationships and how they might have affected your feelings about the loss. Participants who fill out the confidential 15-minute survey online will be entered into a raffle to win a $100 gift certificate to Amazon.com. If you are over 18 and want to participate, please go to www.opentohope.com and click on Foundation News. There on the research site, you will find the URL for my study. You can also contact me by phone at 415-290-0164 or by email at lossresearch@gmail.com to have questionnaires sent to you. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Hello, I'm Eric Kiffel, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichippel.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. And for those of you just joining us today, we're talking with Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody about the holidays, helpful or hurtful. Welcome back to the show, Alan, Mitch, and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Mitch, I'm going to say something to you. You're the one that coined this title for us, Holidays, Helpful or Hurtful. Where do you get that from, and are they helpful or hurtful?
Well, it's from my experience and from those around me, and because, it, you know, as I alluded to earlier about how my journey has changed through the years, originally Christmas was hurtful. I hated it. I had to put up the face and go through it. And now I find it very helpful. You know, it's being, my life has been restored again. And so it's I love looking. I hated not liking Christmas music. I love Christmas music. And for years it was hurtful to listen to it, so I didn't. But now I listen to it again and I brought it back into my life, and it feels so, have that feeling of joy in your heart again that you can't define, but you can feel. And that's happening again. And so it can, different time for everybody, you know, no matter how many years you're into your journey, there can be joy again.
So there's a message of hope. This holiday may not be like it was last year or the year before. It may be better. It may be worse. Yeah. Alan, what's your take on that? The holidays, helpful or hurtful?
Well, I believe that, grief is a series of choices that we make. And as we go down the road a bit, I guess the choice we can make is whether or not we're going to let grief win and take the holidays away from us the rest of our lives. And
that's a good point. You've lost so much. Do you want to lose, you know, all that too? Yeah.
Well, I know that some people choose that and they say, you know, my holidays will never be good again. But like I said earlier in the show, you know, when we heal and when we're open, we're surprised sometimes what we find. And I do enjoy the holidays. They're a beautiful time of year. And I think that as we enjoy the holidays, we get to reap the benefit of healing.
And how did you feel that first year?
Oh, it was horrible.
And how's your brother doing? How did he feel?
You know, my brother is just the exact opposite of me. My brother has to maintain those same traditions. They always put up their Christmas tree on Thanksgiving night. His son, that was a big part of it. They did it together as a family. They always lived in the same area. So he maintains those same traditions, and that's what brings him comfort. And
you know, that's a good point right there, because here we've got, you know, one person wants to do it one way, one person the other way. The only problem is if you've got a husband who wants the tree up and you've got a wife who doesn't, or, you know, you've got some kind of family stuff going on, that can be difficult for those folks out there.
They are difficult, and, you know, so many times, you know, our grief is like our DNA. We all grieve so differently, and I've been fortunate that I've been able to, the people around me and I have been able to work that out, and but for some people, that is very, very difficult. And you have one person that wants to celebrate Christmas and feels like celebrating again, and maybe they're married to somebody who doesn't want any part of that. So those are difficult situations.
Now, I've got an email here from a Mary from Tucson, Arizona, and she says that she sent us a general email to Grief Blog, and she said that one of my problems is that we always go to my mother-in-law's for Christmas Eve. I do not want to do it this year, and it could be, we could say Christmas Day, because we're on Christmas Day this afternoon. You know, if your mother-in-law or whatever wants you to go to their house for dinner or for New Year's, what do you do when you don't want to do those rituals anymore and relatives want you to do them? Do you want to take that, Mitch?
Mitch, I'd say be honest, be true to yourself, and just say, no, I can't do it this year. You don't have to argue. You don't have to make up excuses, or I'm going to go somewhere else, or I'm tired, or, you know, just say, no, I can't do it this year. Just and then maybe next year I can. Shouldn't be any much argument. And any good marriage, any good family to survive has got to be compromise. So you compromise on something. You know, you give and take on both sides and come up with a happy medium for everybody.
What about you, Alan? What do you think about that?
Well, when those questions come like that are difficult ones, that's when laymen like me and Mitch defer to professionals like Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi.
Well, I think Mitch is making a good point. I think we too often just do what everybody else wants, and then we just crash, and it's just miserable for us. And we do need to check in with ourselves and go, you know what? It's okay if I take care of myself this year. I don't want to go, and I need to take care of myself.
But you might say, but the kids would like to. If they do, could you come over and pick them up? Or have a friend drop them off or something. Tell people what you need.
Tell people what you need. Then tell someone else, I can't do it. You come and pick them up, or you know, give people direction. They ask, whatever can I do? Then you give them what they can do.
Or you know, I can't put up my Christmas tree this year because my brother used to do it, and it's too painful. But my kids need a tree. Can you come and put a tree up for us?
Yep.
Whatever's needed. I agree. We need to teach people, as we've said before on the show, to be good grief support.
especially during the holidays.
And in the mental attitude that you have, you know, when you say, oh, my Christmas will never be good again, you know, right there, I mean, words are powerful. You create your reality. If you say it'll never be good again, it will never be good again. So you even choose your vocabulary.
You know what? And also, if you have other children and you put messages in the air of our Christmas will never be good again, my life will never be good, there's other kids that are there. So what does it say for them? I mean, sometimes kids hear that as, I'm not loved enough for you to have a great Christmas.
Right. I'm not good enough. Or
yeah,
it should
exactly.
have been me. You know, and then they it's a tough stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I especially love it when people out there come up to you and say, they hear that your child died, and they say, oh, you'll never get over it. That's the first person you'll think of every morning. And I'm like, how do you know what I'll do?
Oh, yes. You know, and with Christmas cards, that's another whole topic. We're on Christmas here. Do we sign our child's name?
Oh, yeah.
And what about the whole Christmas picture?
In the picture.
Where you usually, you know, where you have the kids in the picture. I mean, do you a picture this year? Do you not? I mean, those kind of things. Like you said, do we put the child's name?
Yeah, the cards have been sent now, but yeah. What were the cards like? And if you didn't want to send a Christmas card, do you want to think about sending a New Year's card or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you... I know one family has sent out a card. I haven't gotten it yet, but they're sending out a card with their son's picture on it and some things about it. But not everyone would want to do that.
No, not everybody. No, and then you can go over the top where you just... Every card or every return sticker you put on your envelope has a picture of your child on it. You know, we can't be... Go in that spot, too. We can, you know, go over the top in our grief, you know, or we can be in the closet or somewhere in
between. And Mitch, I've actually worked with kids and heard kids that have said, there's so many reminders of our sibling in the house that we can't concentrate. We need there to be reminders, but not everywhere. We need to kind of sometimes be able to move away from it also if we need to focus.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, we can do the other extreme.
However, I want to say to all you people out there, if this is your first Christmas, you can't go over the top. Whatever you want to do is just going to be what it is.
It's survival.
Excellent. Yes.
You know, you can't cry too much. You can't not cry too much for the folks who say, I'm not crying enough. You know, whatever you're doing, you're doing. Give yourself the gift of just being yourself this Christmas, you know, right now in this moment.
Well, and I think you're making a good point because I always hear people saying, yeah, people are judging the way that we're doing it. You know, our in-laws or whoever are judging the way we're doing it. They don't like the way that we're grieving. So like you said, people need to give themselves permission to do it the way they want to. I mean, this is a huge loss in your lives, and you're on survival mode right now.
Absolutely.
And there'll be a lot of well-intentioned people that will give you advice.
Mm-hmm. Alan, what about music? That really... I just think of these people out there. That's tough, isn't it? Taking you back into those songs, like I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I think when music's a big part of your life, sometimes just Christmas music, people will tell me how painful that is for them, just hearing Christmas songs. And I certainly can relate to that. I tell you, there's a lady I met in Grand Junction, Colorado, that does something, and this is how she survives holidays and birthdays. And every Christmas now, she goes out and she buys herself a gift from her son.
Ah,
wow.
And she says, you know, I know he would want me to, and she wraps it up and she puts it under the tree, and same way for her birthday. And, you know, she says, Alan, her neighbors and friends and family thinks that she's just, you know, over the top. But she showed me some of the gifts that she got herself. She says, I know my son would want me to have this. One was this beautiful lamp. And the point of it is that, you know, she opens up that present on Christmas morning, and for her that works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for other people that might not, and it's over the top for them, but that is what she does. And I think that's a beautiful thing. Whatever gets you through, whatever your soul and your heart tell you might bring you comfort in the holidays, I say go for it if that works for you.
Absolutely, yeah. People have some creative ways of dealing with things like that, and it's a great thing.
And with the holidays, as mentioned, when you approach New Year's Eve as well, and that's another whole celebration that our society does, and starting a new year, and it's a rebirth type of thing. And what we started doing, we went to a Unity Church for a while, and it was making intentions for the year, and you burn those up on Christmas or New Year's Eve and send them up. And when you're in grief, you know, that's a good way sometimes to make an intention, you know, that to really and write it down and send it up to your loved one and say, I'm going to do this for you. You know, we are like in Alan's song, The Gifts Left Behind, we are the gifts left behind.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's time for us to go to break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're talking to Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody about the holidays, helpful or hurtful. And we know that this is your Christmas holiday today, or your Christmas memory, or whatever this day is going to be for you. We wish you the best, and we also hope that you will definitely take care of yourself this year. You can reach us through thegriefblog.com as well as through the Open to Hope Foundation website. Our shows, remember, are all archived on those websites, so you're going to be able to listen to over 100 shows. They're on 24/7, so we hope that they will bring you support during this year. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
A new child bereavement study is being conducted by a doctoral student at Seattle Pacific University. This study investigates the positive and negative personal and relationship outcomes of parents who have lost a child. These questions are based on you, your present relationship with your partner, your social support following your loss, and your personal experiences following your loss. If you have lost a child, you are invited to participate in this 20-minute survey. Participation is confidential, and you may change your mind at any time. If you think you would like to participate, please go to www.lossresearch.webs.com. Or, if you have any questions or would prefer the questionnaires be sent to you, please contact Hillary Van Horn by phone at 1-530-902-4562 or by email at hvanhorn@coh.org. Thank you for your time and consideration.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. And for those of you just joining us, we're talking with Alan Peterson and Mitch Carmody about the holidays, helpful or hurtful. Welcome back to the show, Alan, Mitch, and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, this is our last segment, and I want you to know that we are going to go out with a song of Alan's called Celebrate the Children. We kind of switched our songs because you're going to hear earlier on in the show is something you go through. So before, you know, we've got a few minutes to talk about what you guys are doing. You're doing your workshop. We want to know how to get a hold of you. What sites do people go on? Alan, do you want to give us the site?
Yes, you can go to my website, which is www.everashleymusic.com, everashleymusic.com. And Mitch, what's your website?
www.heartlightstudios.net.
Okay, so you can go to both of their sites, very rich sites, and take a look at what they're doing and when they're going to be presenting. What exactly are going to entail in your workshops? Who wants to take that?
I'll briefly do it and then let Mitch come in. We're going to do full-day workshops, and basically they're going to be broken down into four different workshops. We're going to use Mitch's artwork and my music in most of them, but We're going to do the first one is going to be one called Faces of Grief. Mitch has done about 20 portraits that are just unbelievable, showing people in different emotions of grief. And so we have a workshop centered around his artwork called Faces of Grief. And then we're going to, the second workshop is going to be one that I do, I've spoken about with you before, the four H's, the hope and help, honor and healing, the things I see at work in the lives of people successfully moving through their grief. It's all based on people I've met and experiences I've had. And so that's a more nuts and bolts look at the grieving process. The third one, Mitch, why don't you take that, is Mitch's Whispers of Love, and tell them about that workshop, Mitch.
Yeah, that workshop will be Whispers of Love, which is just another term I coined for those nudgings that come from our loved ones who have died. And at the TCF conference this summer, it was just, I mean, there's 400 people who were cramming into each sessions just to hear this. It was unheard of among people because everybody wanted to have validation that they're not nuts. that these whispers of love, the after-death communication is the term that's been broadcast from the Guggenheim's book, and I don't really believe that even adequately describes, because it can be nudges before they even die. The children give an indication to their parents somehow, something very different from their nature, that weeks before they died, and they died in an accident, but yet they did something extraordinary.
Yeah, Scott actually told his sister and her friend that if something happened to him, it would be okay. A week before.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I did an unofficial poll because I talked about the Whispers of Love, which were after-death communication, per se, and then I took a poll of parents who had lost a child by accident, and 90% had had something where the child said or did something that was really extraordinary or said something.
Right.
Even my twin sister, we celebrated our 28th birthday together, and she said, "Mickey, I'm staying 28 forever," and a week later she was dead.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't know. A girl in Texas at this conference wrote on her website, "If I'm going to die," on her MySpace, she said, "I'd like to die in a fiery inferno." You know, and a month later, her whole family burned up in the inferno, except for her mom, dad, and one little brother.
Mm.
So it does. It's unbelievable. So this workshop is really powerful, and people really want to come and share their story. So it's a lot of sharing, so they can tell their story and get validation for themselves.
Now, this is full day.
This is a full-day workshop. Yeah, it'll be each workshop. You know, it's probably a full-day workshop, so each workshop will maybe 2 hours long.
Do you have any idea about where they're going to be, what cities, and when?
Well, our premiere is going to be in Aurora, Colorado, and near where, right 10 minutes from Alan's house.
And
February 28th.
Minneapolis, St. Paul. And go ahead, Alan. Tell them some of the other cities that you...
Well, I'm kind of... Mitch is the nuts and bolts guy. He does a lot of the putting of the hard work of writing and putting our manual together of our ideas. I'm the booker, I guess you could say. But February 28th at the Heartlight Center in Aurora, Colorado.
Okay. And is that what day of the week is that?
They're all going to be on Saturdays.
Okay.
Right now. We're going to be in Hartford, Connecticut. We're in the mid-July. We're still finalizing that. South Florida in November. We're going to have it all up there over the next couple of months. We haven't even done the press release to the people we know. So if people have an interest in us bringing it to their city or wanting to attend one, we're really trying to be geographically diverse so that we hit most regions of the country this year. Because of our own travel schedules, mine and Mitch's, we're going to be limited to probably 10 to 12 this year. But we're excited about it. The people we've talked to about it already are excited. And it gives us the time to really spend some quality time with people. Most of the events we do now at conferences, we have an hour and a half, and boom, we're in and we're out. And so this gives us a full day to really
That's
work
great.
With people.
Well, thank you guys for being on the show, and it's been great having you on. But I want to say, Heidi, for me, what Mitch and what Alan represent is hope, and that there is life after loss.
Absolutely, and I was going to say, these guys are very dynamic speakers. I have been presented next door to them. They touch on every emotion. You will laugh, you will cry, you will embrace life, you will definitely find hope again.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys have a closing comment, each of you, that you want to make for our audience out there?
Well, I would say this, Mitch, that is don't be afraid to talk to your loved one, to ask for guidance. In that, like the Alabama song, "There Are Angels Among Us," you have to look for them. They are out there everywhere, ready to support you and help you. And pretty soon, one day in the future, in your grief, you become one of those angels as well to help others in theirs.
Absolutely. And Alan?
Yeah, I would just say, with this being Christmas Day, don't let anybody tell you how to grieve your holidays, how to get through them. Listen to that little small voice inside you, your instincts. You're the CEO of your grief, and let that voice take charge and guide you through the holidays, and you will get through them that way. And just be open to the hope and to the change and to the healing that you will find over the years.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thanks
and
for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we're going to go out with Alan's song.
We got to know the magic of their smiles, if only for a while. Wasn't it beautiful? They taught us how to love so deep, feel so complete. Wasn't it wonderful? Even if we knew that it would end, if we had the chance, we'd do it all again. Let's celebrate the children. Celebrate our kids. Celebrate the children. And remember that they lived. They are our strength. They are the heroes, they're our angels now. Let sorrow wait, let's celebrate. They left so many gifts behind for each of us to find. It's magical. They're with us every day, give help along the way. It's spiritual. They're part of everything we say and do. We're better people now because of them, it's true. Celebrate the children. Send them all our love. Celebrate the children, looking down from up above. They are our strength. They are the heroes. They're our angels now. Let sorrow. Let's celebrate. So fly, butterfly. So long, sweet balloon. Float up through the clouds, somewhere beyond the moon. Let them know we'll see them soon. Celebrate our kids.
Celebrate children.
And remember that they lived. They are our strength. They are the heroes. They're our angels now. Let sorrow wait. Let's celebrate.
Celebrate the children.
Send them all our love.
Celebrate the children.
They're looking down from up above. They are our strength. They are the heroes. They're our angels. angels now. Let sorrow wait. Let's celebrate. Oh, celebrate. Celebrate. We got to know the magic of their smiles, if only for a while. Wasn't it beautiful?
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.